John chapter 4, familiar event that we've looked at many times before, but it records a meeting that Jesus had with a woman. The Bible says that Jesus left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and you know, most Jews bypassed Samaria when they went places. The Samaritans were half-breeds, the half-Jews and half-something else. And the Jews didn't like them. They referred to them as dogs. They weren't allowed to enter the temple. They weren't allowed to take part in the ceremonies in the temple. But the Bible says that Jesus must go through Samaria. Came to a city called Sychar. There was a well there, a well dug by Jacob. Jesus was tired, so he sat on that well, and the disciples went into the city to buy food. It was the sixth hour, so about noon, so they went to buy lunch. A woman came to the well, a Samaritan woman, and Jesus asked her, "Would you give me a drink from the well?" And the woman was shocked. Men did not usually speak to women that they did not know in public, and especially a Jewish man to a Samaritan woman. And so she asked him, "How is it thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." And Jesus answered, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Then the lady said, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water?" Jesus answered, "Whosoever drinketh of this water," pointing to the well, "shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." In the Bible, a longing for God, a longing to have a relationship with God, a longing to know that there is a God, and that he made you, and that he has a purpose for you, and that he's going to take you when this life is over, is likened to thirst. Listen to some of the verses where it says that. From Psalm 42, verse 2, "My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 63, verse 1, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." Psalm 143, verse 6, "I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land." The woman that came to the well that day, the woman that talked to Jesus that day, had a longing for God. She wanted to know that there was a God that had made her, a God that had a purpose for her life. And you know her story. She had a terrible wife, married five times, living with a man that wasn't her husband. But she wanted to know that there was a God that had a purpose for her life, a God that would take her when this life is over. So she said to Jesus, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not." Everyone was made by God with this thirst. There's a part of you that thirsts for this relationship with God. There's a part of you that can only be satisfied with this relationship with God. You want to know, there is a God, and he made me. And he made me for a purpose. There's a purpose for me being here. And when this life is over, he will take me to live with him. And so everyone that has this thirst, and that's all of us, every single one of us have this thirst. Everyone that has this thirst is invited by God, just like this woman was invited by Jesus, to come to this well, like the prophet said in Isaiah, to come and draw water with joy out of the wells of salvation. Isaiah said in chapter 55, verse 1, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." What are these living waters? What are these wells of salvation that Isaiah talks about? The answer is one word. You spell it J-E-S-U-S.
the well of salvation, the well of the living water, the well from which we can drink and never thirst again, is nobody else but Jesus Christ. He said in John 6, verse 35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said in John chapter 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And so I ask you this morning, is anybody here thirsty? Is anybody here thirsty? Does anybody have a desire to know that there is a God that made you, a God that has a purpose for you being here, a God, when this life is over, will take you into eternity where you can live with Him forever and ever and ever. If you're thirsty this morning, come and draw water out of the well of salvation. Come to this well. Let this well give you a drink that will quench your thirst forever and ever and ever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and thou shalt be saved. Your thirst will be satisfied. You'll know that there's a God and that He made you, and He made you for a purpose. And when this life is over, He's going to take you. The Bible tells us that He made us. In John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not made anything that was made. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, let us make man in our own image. God made man. I mean, in the Garden of Eden, he took that dirt, and made mud and formed Adam. And then He took a rib and some of the flesh thereof out of Adam and made Eve. And you say, yeah, preacher, I know. God made Adam and Eve, but He didn't make me. I was born. Listen to me. You wouldn't be here this morning if God didn't want you here. And in a sense, He made you just as much as He made Adam and Eve from the dirt of the ground and from Adam's rib. You are here this morning because God wanted you here, and He made you. And He has a purpose for you. It says in the book of Ephesians, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Look, He didn't make you and say, hey, now I got to find a job for this person. God had something that needed to be done, and so He made you to do it. Listen, this is true of every single person in this room this morning. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what kind of life you've lived up to this point. It's true of every single little child out in the fellowship hall. It's true of every little baby that's in the nursery. It's true of every little toddler that's in the toddler room. God made everybody for a purpose, for a reason. You are here this morning because Almighty God has something that only you can do. Now, I don't know about you. That gives me a reason to want to live for Him. Almighty God made me because there's something that needed to be done, and He made me to do it. He made you to do what He wants you to do. He made you. He has a purpose for you. And when we die, there is more to come. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Amen. Rose walks the street of heaven this morning. She's been there less than a week. Wendell's been there for about a month or so. Others that we have known have been in that place, some for a short period of time, some for, from our standpoint, from a long period of time. There's no time in heaven, so they don't know how short or how long they've been there. I mean, it's just one continual day. There's no night there. No need to sleep. We're not going to get tired. We're not going to need to close our eyes. We're going to eat. Praise God for that. Amen. But we won't have to sleep. Well, we can have midnight snacks all the time. We don't need to sleep. But listen, God has prepared a place for His own. And so I ask you again this morning, are you thirsty? Anybody here thirsty? If you do, come and believe on Jesus. You'll never thirst again. And that's where the joy comes from. That's where the joy comes from. It said in Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3, therefore with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. We sing that little song, chorus. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. You want to know where it comes from? It comes from Jesus. It comes from Jesus. That joy comes from knowing that I belong to God. That joy comes from knowing my sins have been forgiven. That joy comes from knowing that in God's sight, I've been justified. I've never sinned. I'm one of His children. He has a purpose for me being here. And when I leave this earth, He's going to take me to heaven to live with Him forever and ever and ever. We sing another little chorus. 'Tis joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. 'Tis joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the half has never yet been told. We try to describe the joy that comes from being saved. We try to describe the joy that comes from being a child of God. We try to describe the joy that comes from looking forward to heaven and all that heaven entails. But we can only scrape the surface. The half has never yet been told. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard those things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. So are you thirsty this morning? Are you thirsty? You come and get your thirst satisfied by the Lord Jesus Christ. You come to Him this morning and say, I'm a sinner. I deserve to be separated from You forever. But Jesus, I believe You died for me. And this morning I'm receiving You as my Savior. Please save me from my sin. Make me one of God's children. Justify me. And if you come, He'll receive you. He'll receive you. He'll take you just like you are, cleanse every sin, make you a child of God, reserve a home for you in heaven. And you'll know the joy that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 1:8. Yet believing, we rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. So this morning, if you're thirsty, come get a drink from this well. Come to Jesus. Believe on Him. He'll satisfy that thirst that you have in your soul. Nothing else can do it. He'll satisfy that thirst that you have in your soul, and you'll never thirst again. In Revelation 22, verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Therefore, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now, I know many of you here this morning have already done that. You've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You have that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. The next verse tells us as Christians what we ought to be about. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 4, we read it a moment ago. And in that day shall ye say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. That verse gives Christians four things to do. Number one, we need to praise. Praise the Lord. The Psalms tell us over and over to praise Him, to glorify Him, to exalt Him. Praise ye the Lord. Psalm 146, praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praise unto my God while I have any being. What the psalmist is saying, if we have any life at all, we ought to praise the Lord. If we have any strength at all, we ought to praise the Lord. If we have any breath at all, we ought to praise the Lord. If we have any being at all, we ought to praise the Lord. Praise Him, praise Him. We sang about it in Sunday school this morning. All ye little children, praise Him. God is love. So we need to praise. It says there, praise the Lord. Then it says, call upon His name. The second thing we need to do is pray. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. 1 Thessalonians 5:7, pray without ceasing. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Christians ought to be praying people. We ought to pray about everything. We ought to pray about the big things. We ought to pray about the little things. We ought to pray about everything in between. There is nothing so small. There is nothing so insignificant that God doesn't want us to come to Him and seek His will and pray about it and get direction from Him. Without faith, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The book of Romans says we exhibit that faith when we come to Him in prayer and pray about everything that's going on in our life. Number three, it says, "Praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people." We need to proclaim. The Vaughn sang in that first song, we need to proclaim what God has done for us. Yeah, we weren't there when Jesus walked the face of the earth. We didn't get to see Him feed the 5,000. We didn't get to see Him heal the sick and raise the dead, calm the storms, come out of the grave. We didn't get to see any of that. But we all have seen God work in our lives. We all have seen God be God in our existence. Yes, it's wonderful to read about the things that happened in the past. It's wonderful to read about the things in the Bible. But I don't have to depend on those things in the past to praise God. I don't have to depend on those things in the past to proclaim what a good God He is. The psalmist says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders." I don't need to look back to the past to see the wonders of God. I can see Him today. I can see Him in my life. I can see Him in your life. And we need to proclaim what God has done. Peter and John one time were proclaiming what God had done. And the religious leaders called them and said, "You got to quit preaching. We command you, don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore." And they said, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than to God, judge ye. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They said, "We can't hold it in." It was like a prophet of old that said, "I tried to hold the word of God in, but it was like a volcano. It welled up in me. I had to let it out." It ought to be the same way for every Christian. We ought to concentrate on what God has done for us so much that it's like a volcano that boils in our souls, and we can't help. We can't help. We can't keep it in. We can't help but proclaim what God has done. And then quickly, number four, "In that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His doings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted." You know, we talk about so many things in our day-to-day life that tomorrow, next week, a year from now, won't mean anything. They don't mean anything. Why don't we talk about Jesus? Why don't we talk about Him? We sing that little chorus. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme throughout eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. Let's talk about Him. Now listen, if you're here this morning and you're thirsty, you've never received Christ, you still have that longing in your soul to know that there's a God and that He made you and that He made you for a purpose, and after you leave this earth, He's prepared a place for you, then you come to the well this morning. You come to Jesus. We're going to have a word of invitation in just a minute. I'll meet you down here. I'll get somebody to take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. If you're a Christian here this morning, praise Him. Pray. Proclaim what He has done. And talk about Jesus more and more. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the wells of salvation that so many have already drawn from with joy. We know that joy unspeakable and full of glory that Peter talks about because we've been to the well. We've taken a drink of that living water. We'll never thirst again because you've satisfied our souls. But Father, there's probably somebody here this morning that still has that thirst, that still needs to come to the well, that still needs to come to Christ. Help them to come this morning. Help them to come as a sinner to a Savior. That's the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to you except through Christ. And so I pray for every person here that's never received Christ to come this morning, take a drink from the well, receive the salvation that Jesus purchased for them. And then I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us to praise you. Help us to pray about everything. Help us to not be able to hold in what you've done for us. And help us to talk about our Savior more and more. Speak to our hearts, Holy Spirit. Convict us where we need to be convicted. Help us to be obedient what you tell us to do this morning. And bless this invitation. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.